The KDP can't protect Yazidis if it doesn't investigate itself. A column by Frederike Geerdink. Yazidi students from the university in Duhok in the Kurdistan region in Iraq have been reluctant to go to the city for groceries, afraid they will be attacked because of their religion. The security around the Yazidi displacement camps has been ramped up. Why? There is an ongoing wave of hate speech against the Yazidis, reminiscent of ISIS's lethal rhetoric against the community. That the Kurdistan regional government hardly does anything to stop it shows how deeply rooted the problem is. The hate speech against the Yazidi community started last week. Some Arab families had returned to the Shengal region, the home region of the Yazidis where Arab families have always lived as well. Some Yazidi youth protested against their return when they discovered an ISIS member was among them. Some stones were thrown, but nothing serious happened. But soon, the false rumor spread that the Yazidis had attacked and damaged the local Rahman Mosque. Despite the debunking of the rumors, the hate speech continued, and this week it still didn't subside. On social media, Iraqis and Kurds ranted against the Yazidi community. And a number of local clerics in the Kurdistan region began spewing hatred against the Yazidis during their Friday prayers. As a consequence, the Yazidi community feels more vulnerable than they already do. The examples mentioned in the beginning of this column come from an interesting Twitter space, in which Yazda co-founder and president of the Sinjar Academy, Murat Ismail, reflected on the situation. The hate speech, of course, doesn't happen in a vacuum. Firstly, it must be understood that the rhetoric used by certain imams now, calling Yazidis devil worshippers, is chillingly similar to the wording ISIS used when the genocide began in 2014. But secondly, that it surfaces so easily and the Kurdistan regional government hardly speaks out, speaks to a larger reality of discrimination of and distrust against the Yazidis. Not only in the Kurdistan region, actually, but in the whole of Iraq as well. The Iraqi government has remained totally silent. The Kurdistan region did release a statement, but the weakest one possible, without even explicitly condemning the hate speech. The statement was released by the Office of the Coordinator for International Advocacy, and not, for example, by the presidency or the prime minister. The statement repeatedly claims that there were only a few imams resorting to hate speech, 5, they say, while other sources claimed there were around 30, and that they did not have the intention to propagate hateful rhetoric. Subsequently, the government entity, as it is called, patted itself on the back for its self-proclaimed commitment to the Yazidi community. This week's statement is a reflection of the KDP's relation with the Yazidi community. They are always quick to make a meeting with Yazidis into a photo opportunity for social media channels, with which they try to show how much religious freedom there is in the KRG. But when they are desperately needed to protect the community, they remain silent and inactive. Most tragic example is the unfolding of events just before the genocide started in 2014. Shengal was under the de facto protection of the KDP Peshmerga at the time. The region is one of the disputed territories and lies far outside the Kurdistan region. ISIS was approaching, but the Yazidi community thought they were protected by the Peshmerga and that they would be safe. But instead of trying to protect the community against the genocidal gangs, the Peshmerga were ordered to withdraw from Shengal and return to the Kurdistan region. The Yazidis had to run for their lives and stranded on Shengal Mountain where many perished. They were eventually rescued by the PKK, which rushed and tried to save the situation and escorted the population to safer grounds across the border in Rojava. The Yazidi community was apparently not worth the lives of KDP's Peshmerga fighters. Or what was it exactly that made the Barzanis order the Peshmerga to withdraw? Was it a tactical decision, as some people who defend the withdrawal say? What kind of deranged tactic was that leading to genocide? Up until today, the KDP has refused a thorough and independent investigation into what happened those days and why. Nobody has been held to account. A more recent example of the deeply rooted contempt for the Yazidi community is the so-called Sinjar Agreement of October 2020. Sinjar is the Arabic name, Shengal the Kurdish name. This is an agreement between the federal Iraqi government in Baghdad and the Kurdistan Regional Government, forged under the auspices of the United Nations Assistant Mission for Iraq and supported by Turkey. It was meant to end the very unstable situation in the region, where several armies, militias and political parties competed for influence. The pact would enable the Yazidis to return to their homelands. Problem was, the Yazidis were not involved in the negotiations about the deal. Not the Yazidis in the displacement camps in the Kurdistan region, not the Yazidis who lived in Shingal, not the self-defense forces that had been set up in the early days of the genocide. The agreement was doomed to fail. Not only does the Kurdistan regional government have a deep contempt for the Yazidi community, it also wants to control and instrumentalize it, these two developments show. Yazidis can exist as long as they dance to the KDP's tune and don't demand autonomy and the right to self-determination. As long as the KRI, and especially the KDP, doesn't face its historic mistakes and the supremacist tendencies lying underneath it, it will never develop a way to relate to the Yazidi community that sees them as equals and as free people who are in charge of their own fate. And as long as that doesn't happen, the Yazidis will not be safe. Frederike Geerdink is an independent journalist and writer. Follow her on Twitter, fgeerdink, or subscribe to her weekly Kurdistan newsletter. The link is in her Twitter bio.